And welcome everyone to another Tuesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. And I'm also on PSN Radio. As soon as I grab the stream there, I always forget. But today I did. I will catch it in the very beginning. So we will be on there in just a few seconds. And I'm on that now, thanks to Angel Espino. I'm on PSN Radio and peoplesinternetradio.com. Another Tuesday evening here in America. Tuesday afternoon in America, and Tuesday evening in Ireland and Scotland, the UK, and elsewhere. And this is Cancel the Cabal. I'm Stephen Roberts. Sherry Wisdom is going to be coming on. She just hustled home from working half a day over there in the big law office in Denver, Colorado. And she hustled home, and she's going to be joining me here within the next 2 or 3 minutes, or 4 or 5, whatever it happens to be. And we're going to be talking about some things. And we're going to be doing some things. I'll just leave that for the discussing points. And anyways, I'm going to put another quick little thing on and come right back. And hopefully Sherry will be ready by then. So see you in about 4 minutes, everyone.
Sorry.
All right. And welcome back, everyone, there. Sherry had a little mishap there, and I think she's muting and cleaning up or something like that. I heard a big crash, but anyways, I wanted to read something before the two of us went back on air. There's a quote by Martin Luther King out there that's always it's always struck to heart with me as a very poignant quote. I don't have a clue when he said it, but he is alleged to have said this. It goes, "Courage is an inner resolution to go forward despite obstacles. Cowardice is submissive, surrender to circumstances. Courage breeds creativity. Cowardice represses fear and is mastered by it. Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when we must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular. But one must take it because it is right." That's one of my favorite quotes by anyone, actually. So I hope Sherry is done with her little mishap there. Are you back now, Sherry?
I'm here.
All right. How you doing today? Do you have a good day?
I had a great day. I have reorganized my office area at home. Remember I told you?
Yes.
And I moved my greenhouse into my office.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I forgot that I have to move my chair around. So when I went to move my chair around, I knocked some of the stuff over. Anyway.
That was the crash, huh?
That was the big crash, and all the balls, you know, those nutrients balls that I had in those, they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'll clean that up later. Oh, anyway.
Okay, no problem, though. I also did want to tell everyone, today is my mother and stepfather's 42nd anniversary, so.
Wow.
They're going out to dinner, and I'm going with them. I am going to be cutting the show off about a half hour early, so I am going to put some songs on after Sherry and I get done, so we're only going to have about, I don't know, an hour and 15 minutes, somewhere in there, and then I'll be running Kira's show. Kira passes me a pot every day, so everybody will be hearing Kira. It's just there's going to be some songs in between Kira and some songs after Kira. So, Sherry, we've got some things going on here. You've got some things going on, and I want to help, and I want to be part of it, and we've got some things going on together.
Yeah, it's kind of exciting, really.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, what's that?
Somebody's trying to call on Skype. I got to send a message and tell them what's going on. Go ahead and talk for a minute. I got to send a message.
Okay, that's fine. Well, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about a lot is about bringing it into our communities and actually confronting the people in our communities and banding together and kind of reining it in to a point of where we're not, pointing our fingers out at the federal government or, you know, these people or the elite or this or that. We're actually trying to figure out what's going on here, like what's going on right where we're at. And you had some great ideas, and basically I think you've come up with a way for us to connect with some of the local politicians and money, at least in the Colorado area.
And keep it in, keep it in-house, so to speak, you know, keep it in the Denver family or whatever.
That's right. Well, and this is the other interesting thing. So I've actually hooked up with another large dispensary, and, I'll give them a little blurb. They're called the World of Weed, and they're probably one of the largest distributors. The reason I'll work with them, not, you know, I'm kind of a pot snob, but the reason I'll work with them is because they really are about the organics and about the medicinal.
Right.
And not just, you know, smoking weed, whatever. They don't care, you know, about that. But it's like really the tinctures, the oils, the cannabinoids, the wax, all of that stuff is really more of a focus for them. And I feel like that's what's going to make the difference. That's going to be the line between the stoners and the people that just want to get high, and they're going to go into Walgreens and Walmart or whatever and buy Marlboro's disgusting shit.
Yep.
Right. Well, or then you're going to have the people who really want it for health, and people that really want it for the mind expand, you know, all the things that comes along with it. I mean, it metabolism, you know, all the things that it can be beneficial for.
Yep.
They're going to be the ones that go more towards these other dispensaries.
Well, check your Skype message, by the way, and you don't have to say anything, but just check the Skype message. But it was interesting. You know, we talked when you were driving home from the law office there about drugs and about some of the European countries. Well, I wish I could. That's all I got to say, Sherry. I wouldn't, you know.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, that's right. I forgot. Okay. Yeah. I forget, you know.
It's okay. But
the discussion we were having, the reason that it came up is you brought it up to me, but Jean-Paul, who's been on this, you know who he is, but he hasn't been on the show in a while, but, you know, he's getting ready to meet with the prince and the princess of Norway.
Norway, yeah.
And, I mean, it's not that that's some big, I mean, he's excited, but it's not that huge of a deal. But what the huge deal is that he's going to be able to go in and be a part of these discussions that are decriminalizing drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just marijuana. See, here's the thing, is if you actually look at how the cartel runs, you actually look at where the money is coming.
Yep.
Marijuana is very, very low on the list.
It is. It is. That's,
you know, people, yeah.
That's something I also wanted to get into. I taped something a week or so ago. It's about cocaine in between the lines. The cocaine industry. It's somewhat of a, well, I guess it's supposed to be like a $30 billion a year industry, and it's all totally illegal in America here. Well,
that doesn't surprise me.
No, it's legal. It's illegal everywhere, as far as I know. I'm not sure, but
there are. I think I read someplace that there's a country. I want to say it's New Zealand, but I could totally be lying about that.
Yeah.
But there is a country that all drugs are legal.
Mm. Well, that's not surprising. There are some European countries. I can't recall which of them right now. Some of the Scandinavian countries, or at least one or two, that have decriminalized all drugs, and they make them available to the people that are in need, and they are doctor supervised. You know, they're administered by doctors and nurses, and they go to a clinic and they get their high for, well, it's on the taxpayers' dollars, but you know, the criminal element has been virtually
you and I talked about this, and there'd be a lot of people that bitch their asses off about, well, I'm not paying for that shit, blah, 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 my tax money. And like we said before, it doesn't matter, you guys. You're already paying for it in your enforcement, in having to have more police, in having to have, you know, more facilities that take in drug addicts that are, you know, committing crimes. You're getting your houses robbed. You're getting your businesses robbed. You're getting all these things are happening because of the criminalization of these drugs that these people are addicted to.
Captain Ray says it might be Portugal, but I'm not sure.
That has everything legal. I think that sounds familiar to me. I will look it up. I'll sit here. I'll look it up. But what has happened, and you said this to me earlier, was that the crime rates in the countries and the states that have decriminalized different things, the crime rates have dropped.
Non-existent. Non-existent. I mean, it's practically non-existent because people don't have to go out and rob and rape and pillage to get money for their drugs. It's given to them.
And you think about that in a weird way. It's like if people are not put into a criminal situation, I guess, and they're going to be drug addicts and they're going to have all these problems, they're going to be in a facility anyway.
Yeah, have them supervised.
Exactly. Like, why not just completely eliminate the whole criminal system and just, you know, turn it into a sickness? Because that's what it is.
It is.
You know, and I don't know about, I mean, I'm pissed off at the doctors that you go to.
Well, so am I.
I mean, you and I have had this talk, so I'm not, yeah. It's not a blast, but it's like, it's fucking bullshit how they manipulate people to believing that they need something, and then it's all about the money.
Yep, yep.
Because they had you convinced that you needed a certain thing, and as soon as you couldn't afford it, it was like, oh, well, you didn't really need that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, isn't that pretty much how it went?
My sugar levels are suffering because of the lack of insulin, but you know, I'm not dying. My numbers are up, but
Well, and that's something that we're going to work on more.
Yes.
Anyway.
Thank you.
That has a lot to do with diet.
Yeah, yeah, yes, it does.
But it has a lot to do with diet. But the thing is, and this is something that it was Jillian who said this to me. I don't know. Anyway, instead of taking things away, we need to be adding.
Explain more.
So, like, instead of saying, okay, well, you can't eat this, or you can't eat this, or you can't eat this, saying, okay, add a cup of blueberries, or a cup of this, or a cup of that to your diet every day.
Uh-huh.
And what that will do, I think, is you won't want the other shit.
Right, right.
So instead of, because in your mind, when as soon as you're, in most people's minds, as soon as you think you can't have something,
yeah.
I mean, especially for me, like, I'm really like this. If I think I can't have something, I want it so bad.
Yeah. Ask a 14-year-old girl, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, God, that's another whole story I won't even get into when I dealt with last night.
Well, adults rebel too, so it's not just a kid thing.
It's not just a kid thing, but I'll tell you that I am getting a huge dose of karma.
Yeah.
I really am. And I don't like it, I'm just going to say.
Do you know, I got to tell you a funny story. My stepsister is a year and a half, well, just over a year older than me. And she told her 15-year-old daughter at the time, she said, you know what the best thing would be for you is to have a child just like you are. And now my niece is 30, going on 31, and she's got a 13-year-old girl just like her.
It does work. The mother's curse does work.
Yep.
I had to have three girls to make up for what I did. I'm just going to say.
Yeah.
But somehow I am surviving. I have one grown and two that hopefully will survive. Yeah. It's definitely a challenge, Stephen, in this day and age, because there's so much indoctrination from every level.
Mm-hmm.
That even when you try to keep yourself away from things,
yeah,
if you have kids or you have family or you're involved in social outside of like our group, you know, it's really hard to not play into it in some ways.
I don't know. You know,
I'm telling you, I'm fighting. I'm really struggling with Black Friday.
It's a two-edged sword, you know. Okay. Yeah, you mentioned Black Friday. I guess we could talk about that in a few minutes. But look at all these people that are on the internet, on Facebook and on Twitter, and doing all this activism. And you know, for years and years and years, they slammed George Bush, and then they slammed Barack Obama, and they slammed Hillary Clinton. But they're all rah, rah, zis, boom, bah for Donald Trump. And, you know, I just have to laugh to keep from getting into arguments because, well, I don't even want to approach any type of a discussion with these people because they claim to be awake and aware, but yet they supported and voted for Donald Trump. And it's just almost an oxymoron if you want to look at that type of an argument. I just don't get it.
Well, I think that as much as I hate to say it, like, I feel it too, Stephen. I keep catching myself because I am in that lifestyle in a weird way, even though, you know, I don't live the high life. But in comparison to a lot of people might think that I live better than some. It's really the people that I work with, though.
Right.
You know, these high profile lawyers, which I guess there's a piece of me that is like, I'm still kind of, you know, I got out of that because I didn't want to be a part of it, but it still is intriguing.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting to watch how.
Just like that clip I sent you the one time about the Godfather, right?
Yes.
Just when I think I'm out, they drag me back in.
I swear that is really what it's like. You know how many times have I tried to leave the law firm, Stephen?
Yeah.
And even this last weekend, I was like, fuck it. I'm done. Yeah. Where was I today?
Law firm. Where was you yesterday?
No, I didn't go in yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was feeling guilty.
That's why you went back?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's such a weird dynamic because it's like.
Was it because of. Did you feel low? Well, not so much money, but loyalty maybe?
I have a lot of that. And that is an issue for me because I don't believe that it's probably both ways. But these people at this law firm that are very old and.
Well, let me pose a question to you. You know, they tried to get you to take, a 25% cut in pay just a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say if they could find some young 21-year-old intern that would work for 40% less than what you do, do you think you'd still be there?
Here's the thing. No. I think they'd get rid of me in a fucking second. But here's the kicker. Criminal law, high-profile criminal law, is not a joke. I mean, it's not like dealing with most forms of law, because like if you're dealing with civil law, if you're dealing with estate law, if you're dealing with, you know, almost all aspects of law, you have timetables that are pretty extended, and it gives you, you know, and you don't, and you kind of follow the rules and you just kind of play the game and you get through what you get through. Well, with criminal law, you not only have the same deadlines, but you're talking about people's lives. You know, when people have been charged with a crime, whether they've done it or not, in our judicial system and the way things work, if you don't have the money to defend yourself, you could take on huge debt. It's not just about going to prison. It's about the money. It's about the cost of, you know, having to go to classes and having to pay restitution and having to, you know, do all of these different things, it ends up destroying people.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's like there's this part of me that even though I hate the system and I just want to like not be a part of it, I started my own business, I'm doing my own thing. When somebody says something to me like they're getting fucked by the system, I want to help them.
Yeah. I know this is totally off base and off the. Well, it's kind of on topic, but I caught a video this morning of a woman that's been fighting the Child Protective Services system for 16 years. She's got an ongoing lawsuit. And, of course, lawyers for the defense, they will just put things off and try to draw money out of her. And
they'll get it to they have them. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
But and see, that's.
Still, she was talking about the CPS workers and the system itself. She used the verbiage of they have the right to lie to us. I of course wrote in the post that, well, the police have that right also, and so do federal agencies, and So do city officials. They have that right to lie to us, and they have the right by law. They have passed laws saying that they are allowed to lie to us. But you and I better not lie to them at all. They'll throw us under the jail and throw the key into a burning furnace.
But what's so funny about that to me, honestly, and I'm not giving legal advice, but don't ever fucking tell the truth.
Exactly.
Don't ever say anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like my client, like the clients that I have dealt with that know me, that are always in trouble. They know you don't say one word. Yep. It's yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. You are completely polite, completely compliant. And you just continue to ask for your attorney.
Yeah.
And that's all you do. And that's all you say. And because in any situation, I don't care if you're spitting on the sidewalk and they bust you for it, you piss off the wrong person, or there's something going down that you don't know anything about, and all of a sudden you're the fall guy. This kind of stuff happens. It's not just in the movies.
No, it's not. I mean, they set people up on a daily basis.
Oh, I cannot tell you some of the stuff that I deal with. And here's the other part of it. It's like, a lot of it is because people, once you put yourself in a position of doing crimes, you know, and people and the police departments know that you are involved in crimes and those types of things, well, then they're watching you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so and it's not really fair, even though in a lot of ways, if you were the one who was having the crime committed against you, you would think it's fair.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's such a catch. But a lot of times I think what ends up happening is it's like in these strip clubs and stuff like that. They're always being sued and there's always something going on. And it's just always a mess because there's so much drama and drugs and sex and all of that. So it pretty much, like, people in those kind of situations.
Well, you know,
what? Go ahead.
I found out about 4 years older than you, four and a half maybe, but I found out over the years that people like you and I that work for someone, we don't make the money. We are making the money for the people that own the businesses.
Bam! Why do you think I started my own business?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I think about it, and you know this, and I'm not, this isn't like talking about the money, but it's like, you know, I've worked for this law firm for 11 years.
Uh-huh.
And I think that a lot of people, you know, I do have loyalty because they put me through school. They paid for a lot of my schooling, and they have also, I'm a single mom. They have helped me rear my kids as far as like whenever I needed to take off, whatever I needed to do.
Yep.
They always supported me in that.
Yeah.
So
I tried to have my own business twice. You know, it was small.
We're getting ready.
Yeah. Well, it was a small trucking company. I just didn't have the right business, I think. But, you know, this one could be the right one. But
I think a lot of people, see, this is the thing about Colorado right now. You got all these people moving here because they think they're going to make a fortune with pot.
Yep.
Well, you're not. And the thing is that if you've only got about a 2-year span left anyway.
Yeah.
Because
I'd like to get enough money to be a contractor out there.
That's the idea.
I think that's where the money's going to be, is in the contracting.
Flipping houses. Huh? Flipping houses in this area right now.
Yeah.
This house, okay, the house, it's like, I think it's four doors down from me across the street. All they did, I'm not kidding, is they painted it.
Mm-hmm.
They cleaned it up.
Some
landscape stuff, you know what I mean? I mean, they made it look nice on the outside and they did some stuff on the inside. They couldn't have spent over $10,000.
Yeah, and they probably made 50 or 60.
Try 200,000.
Oh, that's what their profit margin was?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. They paid for it because it was like almost condemned in this one area in the back of the house.
Sure.
They only paid like 100, and I think they paid, you know, 120, 130 something for it, even in this market.
Yeah.
They came in, that's all that they just redid what they had to do.
Yeah. Put 10
and
or 15.
It wasn't a lot, and turned around and sold that house for 310.
Sure. I mean, it's like cars, you know? People buy cars. Might not be running. You know, they open up the hood, and put new spark plugs in it, and change a belt, start it up, and make $300 or $400 out of it.
Well, and this is the thing, too. And I was thinking about this. And like here on Craigslist, this is kind of pathetic, but it's like they have what's called like your free list. I think I told you about this earlier because I want to get new fencing.
Yeah, you kind of mentioned it.
Well, I was looking at it, and you can get, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Like, you can go and pretty much get anything free. Like, people are giving away shit that you can't even imagine.
Oh, people are, can't get rid of it. People are throwing stuff away you can't imagine.
That's what I'm saying. And it's like, and so you get on this free list, you get a truck, you go and pick stuff up, you fix it up. I've got all these dressers. I'm like obsessed with trying. I want to like redo furniture.
Uh-huh.
I do it, but I collect the furniture and then never do it. But if I could refinish some of this furniture that like how I see at these stands and stuff, you know, basically it's just like a crack paint and you paint over it and you do and you put some stencils on it. They're selling for hundreds of dollars.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff that we should all be thinking about and doing instead of inspiring to become what we hate. I guess that's, you know, it's just like with my businesses and coming into the dispensaries, it's like I'm the old fogey. You know what I mean? Like, I'm coming in there to do the accounting. They expect me to show up with my hair in a bun and a piece of suit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you don't find your new hairdresser soon, you might you might be doing that.
I'm going to freaking, I gotta put out the word on that. I think I might have found somebody, actually, in Old Arvada.
Uh-huh.
This girl, I stopped a girl at Sally's the other day and asked her if she knew anybody because she was coming out, you know, she was buying products or whatever. So I figured she was a hairstylist, but
right.
Didn't look like her hair was that great. So I didn't want to, you know, like, well. I didn't want her hairstylist. But I was just kidding. And anyway, it turns out she goes, oh, you know what? I've got this client that just loves her lady and she's in Old Arvada. And so I think I'm going to take a walk down there this weekend and just kind of check it out and go and find my new place.
Yeah.
Although.
But then you'll have to pay big bucks, though, instead of getting it for free.
I know. And my niece just so pisses me off, little brat. it's so funny because here's the thing about it. Catherine is amazing with hair color. I know that seems crazy because she's only 14, but I'm telling you, that kid has a knack.
Well, get stuff and have her do it then.
I did.
Did you?
I mean, I haven't had her do it yet, but I went down yesterday and I bought the stuff. That's why I was at Sally's. I went down and I bought the, you know, because they have the professional, I went to the salon place and I'm going to try it. I'm going to just see. Let her do it. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Worst thing that could happen is it gets fucked up. Who cares?
Well, you'll have to wear, you'll have to wear some sort of a covering thing for a month.
Who cares? I wouldn't even cover it. I'd just be ugly. Who cares?
You'd probably be in style.
You know, yeah, I create a new style. You know, oh, so here was the other part of something that I wanted to talk about that I thought was interesting.
Let me go back a little bit. I was going to say something first. This thing I taped on the TV, it's about cocaine, and that there were at least two, if not three, major drug dealers that they interviewed. You know, they covered up their faces and did their voices, made them so nobody can know who they are. But they said that virtually the drugs that get caught at the borders down in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, All the drugs that get captured by the border patrol are the drugs that the dealers didn't pay their cut to the border patrol and the government.
Well, and you know, that I'll tell you what, that it pisses me off, but it's also like I have a bumper sticker somewhere and it says, "Don't steal, the government doesn't like competition."
That's right, yeah.
And that's pretty much what it is, because we all know, I mean, I don't care what they say.
No.
The Clintons are part of the cartel.
Well, sure they are.
They are. They're running that shit. And they are part of all the drug rings. They are part of all of that. You don't make that kind of money.
Not so much the Bushes, but I mean, not so much the Clintons, but the Bushes.
Well, I think it's all, I mean, I've...
George Bush Sr. brought Clinton into that.
Which would make sense, I guess. But if you look at the pictures of her back when, even when she was young, she Clinton. Was bumping elbows with the uglies then.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She knew exactly what she was doing.
Bill is not the real power in that family. Hillary has always been the power in that family.
Oh, and that's what I was saying. I was like, she already was the president for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
So why would we bring that shit back? Although, I will say, and this is kind of an interesting dynamic, and I don't know what to take of this because I can't even wrap my mind around how the economy actually works in the U.S., but I do know that at least they claimed that during the time of Clinton's presidency, he pretty much got rid of the U.S. deficit.
Well, let's put it this way. The only reason we haven't had a total collapse to date, I mean, sure, we've had a collapse and we've been in a depression for 10 or 12 years now.
You think?
Yeah. Well, we have.
I don't think that's true, Stephen. I think it's like class. I'm watching here in Denver where, how are these people building? And you're not talking about a few. You're talking thousands of people coming in here building $350,000 homes, how making many shitloads
are,
money.
How many of them are going under in 5 years?
I don't know. I mean, we haven't seen that.
That's what you need
yet.
To do.
That we haven't seen, but you're not just talking about with pot. You're talking about, like, they're bringing in corporations now here. They are trying to turn Denver into a huge metropolitan, like New York, California. You know, they're trying.
Well, how can we have over 100 million people on some sort of a government subsistence?
Well, I guess that's the whole key right there, and that's the question: is
how many more people do you see on the street corners with signs? Help.
Oh, God, I do see a lot more here. Yeah. A lot more here than I have ever seen before.
Exactly.
But it again...
In my area, too.
So split.
In my area, too.
The rich are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer.
Well,
and
certainly.
There's no middle ground.
Well, yeah, the middle class is slowly eroding.
And, you know...
And it's taking more and more to be...
Yes!
To be middle class.
And that's part of, you know, I don't practice law, but... I guess I could. I probably should quit saying that because I do.
You just play a lawyer on TV?
Under the bar.
Do you just play a lawyer on TV?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. God, wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
That would be so super fun. You could totally bitch out the judge. Anyway, you hear the crows? They're going nuts. That's interesting.
Are they? The crows are your eyes, aren't they?
Do what? Yeah.
The crows are your eyes. But anyways, I was going to get back to saying the only reason we haven't had a total collapse is because of the money that's being laundered through the major banks that filter into America.
Laundered from where, do you think? You're talking about outside of the country?
Drugs. Or drug money.
Huh. Well, there's a shocker. And that wouldn't surprise me, but I also have to wonder, you're talking about, I mean, I'm taking a look at, you know, I'm doing the books for these dispensaries, and when you see the kind of money, like, everybody's talking about, oh, well, the feds will come in. Really? The feds are making so much money off of the state of Colorado right now, I highly, highly doubt that they're going to come in screeching anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're talking, and like, people are like, oh, well, a few million dollars here and there. No, you're talking $120 million a month.
Didn't you tell me last week or just a few days ago that one of your clients, one of the dispensaries, is paying like three times the money that they should be paying or something?
Well, see, that's what happens. Is because it's a new industry, most dispensaries, they're hiring these accountants that are certified good accountants. I'm not slamming them, but they don't understand how it's set up. They don't understand the difference between the med and the rec taxation. They don't understand. I mean, there's all these different things that are just completely at a loss with them. And so they're taking things that should not be accumulated as income and adding that into their income because it looks like it's like coming in from the grow, but it's actually product. It's not, you know what I'm saying? It's like all of these different things. They just don't understand it.
Yeah.
And so what's happening again is most dispensaries right now are paying almost 25% more than what they need to be.
Yeah.
And that's part of, I mean, score for me, because being in on the ground floor and working in the industry from the beginning, and because of where I was at, the guy who ran the show then, we consulted him a lot. And so the program that they used is part of my development for all the tracking. So it's really easy for me to understand how it needs to be, you know, presented to the feds, to the state,
yeah,
to the county. You know, I mean, they pay so much in taxes that we shouldn't have to pay any.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's phenomenal. We shouldn't be paying for our public service. That's for goddamn sure. Shouldn't be paying for water. Shouldn't be paying for electricity. Shouldn't be paying for trash. Shouldn't be paying for any of that stuff. in my opinion. Not when the state's making that kind of money, your counties are making that kind of money. What are they doing with it? That's another thing. There's no calculation. That's because people are so scared of pot that nobody will look into it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, the hand down of ignorance is phenomenal when it comes to hemp, when it comes to marijuana, when it comes to anything that has to do with
Isn't it fear, you think?
It's fear. But it's false fear. It's like there was some show I was watching, some advertisement or something, where this woman, this congresswoman, is saying that it turns you psychotic and that it makes you murder and it makes you, you know, kill whole families. I mean, like, she was so dramatic. And I'm sure that when people hear that kind of stuff, it's on the, you know, it's on the news. It's got to be real. It flips them out. Nobody wants their kid turning into a rat or what was some of the other stuff. Like, I mean, it was phenomenal, the things that they were saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And none of it's true.
Yeah.
There is no statistics at all. There's not one cause of death from marijuana, not overdose, not in a vehicle, not anything.
Yeah.
Even still with recreational.
I mean, it's probably that old joke, you know, you lay 100 joints in front of somebody and they couldn't overdose because by the fourth joint, they would have ordered a pizza and started cuddling with their dog.
That's exactly right. It doesn't, you know, people can say whatever they want about it. I mean, I actually have some controversy. Maybe they're bringing it in to make people dumber.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really, because I think
about it. How can you make people dumber?
It does. I mean, I mean, even for myself, I mean, the reason I smoke pot is to kind of get away, to tone down my energy levels so that I can actually participate in this society.
Yeah.
Because I'm a spaz.
Are you in a chat?
Oh, no.
Ray's got a question in there. Is money still credit? I don't think credit was ever money at all.
No, it was never. And no, I don't think money is credit. I think money is debt. Anytime that you're taking on a system that is developed to put you into poverty, right? Because it's just like if you look at like what you were saying earlier, if you're working for a corporation, the corporation is getting rich and you're just getting them enough to survive.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what's happening in the U.S.
Yep.
Right? We've got this U.S. corporation and every other country too. It's not different anywhere.
I worked for a factory one time from 1983 until 1990. And the owner of the company, you know, he made millions, and he told everybody he stood in front of the entire crew of 1,000 people, and he said, "I don't care what you people make. If I don't make $10,000 per coach, RV, recreational vehicle, I'll shut this place down."
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, and I know lawyers that won't. I mean, I know lawyers that refuse to take a case for less than $350 an hour.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, wow, like, you're special.
You know.
You're super special. Now, like, the attorney that owns my firm, he doesn't do anything for less than $500.
Yeah. I think this guy said this back in the late 70s or something, too, you know. I mean, or early 80s. And that was, you know, $10,000 is more like $35,000 today, you know, or
well, that's the whole thing is people think, you know, if you made 5 years ago, even if you made $1,000 a week, you were doing good.
Yeah. I mean,
that's, you know, you were at a little over $50,000 a year. You could totally, you know, pay your bills, live well, go on vacation, you know, maybe not every year, but put money away. You could live well.
In my area. Yeah. But they're probably not yours. Probably not the Denver area, but yeah, in my little Southwest Michigan, absolutely. I have done that. You know,
I mean, I know a lot of people. I mean, but the thing is that now to have that same lifestyle,
yeah,
and you and I just had this discussion,
you have to almost triple it,
double or at least
almost triple, yeah.
Yeah, triple would be better, but double, you can maintain your lifestyle. I'm not talking about having extras.
Yep.
And being all, you know, like, you have to make almost $100,000 a year in the state of Colorado to really live without stresses of, you know, life.
Yep. Yep.
Bills, whatever.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, I'm answering.
Oh, you're talking about Ray's little comment there?
Hold on.
By the way, his profile says not you, but
I know who
that's
it is.
Ray. Okay.
I know who it is, Turkey. That's so funny. I guess the thing is that attorneys, they suck. I mean, I've said that to you before. I'm not going to deny it. They suck. I don't want to do it either. They do. And I can suck. I mean, you know, I think about, I mean, you and I just had this discussion earlier today about how I fill out.
About
the thing is if I didn't do it that way,
yeah,
they would think something was wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've told you about the stories I've heard. People have been interviewed that work for prominent people. You know, they do whatever for prominent people, and these people around at their parties, they are astonished that everybody isn't taking advantage of the system like they are.
Well, and here's the thing for me, I guess, and this is what's kind of interesting is I'm very upfront about things. And, I mean, my boss hates that because he likes to, you know, lavish things and make it.
Are you Mrs. Goody Two Shoes?
I guess sometimes I try. Not really. Not at all, really. But it's more like, I'll give you a kiss.
Oh, kiss and a reach around?
I'm just kidding. That's no. Horrible. That was horrible.
And Lori? Lori, you got to get on her.
I just noticed that she's in the chat. I'm like, oh, shit. Wait, I take all that back. I don't do any of that. But I'm honest about it. I'm like, this is what I'm going to bill out. This is exactly what you're going to get from me. And this is what the options are. This is how the court could react. This is, you know, I don't ever say, oh, you're going to win. This is a for sure. This is. I don't ever say shit like that because every time you walk into court, it's a Russian roulette. Sure. You don't know. That judge could be having it, you know, she could be having her period. You could have, you know, menopause. You could have some guy who got caught with a mistress. I mean, you don't know.
That's what I was just going to say. His wife could have caught him.
That's exactly right. He gets caught, his mistress showed up at home. You know, you don't know what went on with these people every day, and they are just people.
His wife found the extra cell phone.
That's right. And the credit card.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of shit that can go on in people's lives that affect their job. They're not supposed to let it, but it does.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so that's kind of the thing is that it's, and here, to me, I feel like, well, If I lay it on the line and I say this is exactly how it's rolling.
Sherry's listening. I mean,
Lori's listening. I know.
I'm Lori's like, oh. Listening. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm changing directions now. You see.
Did you happen to hear?
Backpedal. Backpedal.
Did you happen to hear me mention I was only gonna do 90 minutes tonight?
Oh, I did. Yes.
Okay.
And whenever
okay.
That's up, just let me know.
Well, I don't really need a break, but do you need one? Okay, we'll continue. Another 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, that's so funny. I think that one of the interesting things, one of the things that I'm watching more and more is that people are becoming more aware of the fact that they have choices.
Yeah.
And it does, I mean, here's the thing. It's like with, you know, I've made the comment, I wouldn't go into court without a lawyer. If for spitting on the sidewalk.
Right.
That's me personally, because because I've watched and I know how it works out. People think, oh, well, I can represent myself. I can go in there and I know the rules and I know this and I know that. And they're right. They do.
Fake it till you make it. Right.
That's and sometimes it works. But the problem is that we've had shows about language and we've had shows about process and we've had shows about different things that can come into play all of a sudden. And you're wrapped up in something that can take 2 seconds to get into and 20 years to get out of.
And if you're not Johnny on the spot or Jane on the spot, you're going to miss that little thing and you're going to get screwed over, right?
Well, and all of a sudden, when you're in that court, you're under their domain, they can haul your ass off. Oh my God, my specs.
Your specs,
oh,
yeah.
I found them. Oh God, Lori, I wish I could send you a picture. My daughters, after they heard part of the show, and they decided to make me a pair. Yeah, that was, they're quite interesting. They are not glass, they are plastic, but they are quite thick and are not helpful at all, but quite funny. Anyway, I'll have to put up a, I'll have to post that up on the PIR Facebook page or something. Anyway, sorry. The law today is not about really protecting the people. And that's where the loss is, I think, is well, that.
I don't think so much today as just probably ever.
Well, here's the thing, is that people are assholes. And there's times where they need a mediator because they can't do the right thing or they won't do the right thing.
Well, I said last week, I don't believe in government because, government doesn't exist, but people that work in government agencies and government offices do exist. And there are a lot of people that assume that we need government because we can't govern ourselves. And, you know,
but that's not an assumption. Look around, Stephen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, can we govern ourselves? And
you've got some of these young people coming in and saying, well, I don't think we need government. And we'll just hang out with certain groups. And that'll just be the way. Are you stupid?
No.
I can't.
No, people, you know, people are stupid and they can do the right things. They're choosing not to do the right things. They are.
And what's going to change that? I mean, here's the whole thing. You think that, I mean, it's like, so we all run around and sit in a circle and sing Kumbaya, and all of a sudden we're not going to have rapists and murders and all these things that have already been manifested. That energy is already here. It's not about, like, I think everybody wants to eliminate something that is already in existence. And that's not how, it's like, it's got to shift. And it can't just shift on a few small levels because there's too much opportunity for people, especially in groups like that. Like I'm seeing in these dispensaries, they're making this ton of money and they're not focusing on the money so much because it's so overwhelming. And so they're getting ripped off like crazy.
Yeah.
Even though they're doing good things. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's like, and you see that all the time. You'll see organizations where they're doing these fabulous things and you have an accountant come in or you have somebody come in and steal everything they have.
Yep, yep.
You know, so it's like, it's not just about fixing a few, in my opinion. And that's, it's like, we have to come up with a way to kind of make it smaller and bring it back home into this, to where we're not just, you know, numbers.
I still think if we could do away with the monetary system and do with a giving system, I mean, go with a giving system, just give out these cures because people need them, or give out homes because people need them.
Well, it's like somebody posted, or maybe I posted, there's what, 350,000 churches?
Yeah.
In the United States, and there's 250,000 homeless.
No, 4.5 million.
4.5 million. Oh, God. Well, they posted 250,000, which I'm sure you're right. I'm sure it's way more outrageous. But that's the whole thing. You think about that. There's all these churches.
Think about it this way. There's 4.5 million homeless here in America, but there's 18 million vacant homes.
That's pathetic. I mean,
isn't
seriously,
it, you isn't think it about, though?
And who owns them is the banks.
Uh-huh.
So these banks are owning all of this stuff, but instead of people saying, you know what? No, you don't get to have this. You know, you have 3 million people show up somewhere and say, we're taking back this house. We're taking back this house. We're taking back this. We're
that's
taking
what they do
back
in,
our shit.
That's what they do in Ireland.
Well, and I'm telling I've you, seen videos. That is coming.
I've seen videos of it.
People are sick and tired of this shit. And it's like, you know, it used to be, and this is something that Gary had brought this up to me the other day, but he said, you know, it used to be that families stayed together.
Yes, they did.
You know, so you'd have the grandparents.
Grandparents owned a home. Yeah.
That's right. And then it gets passed along and maybe it gets built onto, or maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't. Maybe you just continue to live that way so that everybody has an abundance.
Yep. Yep.
But absolutely. Nowadays, it's just not
well,
like that.
Nowadays, lawyers make laws against that kind of stuff.
So it's true. And it's interesting. It is true. It's interesting how it seems like, as much as people, and including myself, are noticing the homeless and noticing what's going on, it's happening underlined. It's like it's happening in a weird way that it's not right in your face.
And
go ahead.
You know, Jimmy Carter was president in the late 70s up until 1980, but there's a meme that goes around here lately, and I think it says something to the effect, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but how can we call this a Christian nation and we're not helping the homeless? You know, he's had that corporation or that organization of his for 35, 40 years now. What the hell is it called? Do you know the one I'm talking about? When he's gone all over the country and built hundreds and hundreds of homes. Him and his wife and some of his children. They have volunteers. Yeah. Maybe you can search it up quick.
That's what I was doing. Oh, he's involved with the Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, that's it right there. He's done that for many, many years, and he doesn't take any money from the organization. He, they take donations, and they have people from the area that donate their time, and they build homes.
So it says here in 2016, October this year, they have built 75 homes.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, he's contributed a lot. But again.
And he's over the age of 80, too.
Sure. And he's doing all these things, pregnant, homeless. They do all these great things for these people. Why? Why are we building more houses
when there's vacant homes?
When there are houses sitting fucking empty.
Exactly.
That is so stupid. Like, I'm not saying it's not a good thing. I don't want to put it down. Like, I mean, anything that anybody's doing to help other people is amazing. And I don't want to put it down. But
right.
Can we all, like, be just a little bit smarter? Like, can we all just look around and go, hey.
Well, laws are going to have to be changed. People at the top, people that are in control, are going to have to be taken out of control because, well, let's just face it. You and I know that it's illegal for a bank to own a home or land.
Right, exactly.
So,
but look what's happening.
So they have their so-called little sister companies that own the land and the banks. That way they're not legally bound and they're not legally owning a home or land.
And if you think about the money that it costs them to build 75 homes, if they invested that in getting people into the homes that are already available, like turning on the water, you know what I mean? Like all the things that they're going to have to pay for, it could have been three times that amount.
Uh-huh. Exactly. But
they're not going to go. And this is the whole thing. This is what I was talking about. You know, it's like the anonymous groups. And I know that like Chuck O'Chelly, he has a guy that is part of that on once in a while. And I can't remember his name. I think it's Dalen. But anyway, and I said, I posed the question. It's like, I don't really give a shit about Hillary's emails. I mean, I do as far as the security of our country, I guess, is if that's not all bullshit. I mean, who gives a shit? I care about why isn't Anonymous going after the credit bureau? The credit bureau screws more people out of being able to purchase or do anything to survive than any other organization in the United States.
Yep.
Why would they not go in and delete every motherfucking thing in the credit bureau's databases?
Yep. Have a good dinner, Lori.
Oh, I'm not even looking. Is she going to
That's
eat?
Okay. Yeah, she's going to have a dinner.
Oh, bye-bye, Lori.
I'm going to be leaving myself in about 10 minutes here, so don't know.
Good. Oh, okay. I won't get too crazy then.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just saying, people are going to have to come to the realization themselves. They're going to have to figure this out themselves. We just have to keep hammering the message, you know?
Well, and I think that that's all part of it, too, is it's also like, how do you, and this is where I was kind of going earlier and got distracted, but it's like, how do you keep a foot in both sides? Because everybody's like, oh, you can't do that. But you kind of have to.
Well, certainly you have to. You know, you can fight the system. You can pick your battles. Absolutely.
Well, and it's also, it's like, I don't know. I guess that this is, I was talking about Black Friday.
Yeah.
And there's things that my kids want. I'm still listening. Oh, shit. All right. Well, there goes my whole thing. <I'm kidding>. My kids want stuff that their friends have, that they see, whatever.
You got to ask yourself, have they earned it?
Well, and here's my thing is I get that. And I battle with that because I want, and I know that this is I have the weirdest point of view with my kids, and I know that people, it's true, Lori. Is
not just one, Lori. Need to keep two on her.
Got backup. I don't want my kids to feel lack. I don't want that running through their body. I do not want them feeling in that space and knowing and generating and holding the things that will anchor them in their adult lives.
Well, you know, they do have a home over their heads, and they do have food in the cupboards and the refrigerator.
There are
millions of young people their age that don't.
And that's, I think that they're come, the older that they get, the more appreciation they have for things, but that's still this place of, for me, I walk this weird line because for myself, there's a part of me that loves to have fancy stuff. And the material part of things, if I'm going to do that, I want it to be fancy.
Yeah. The illusion.
Right. And it's all, but it's what I realize, and I do realize it, is that it really is just indoctrination. It's like a point of success. It's like, if I can walk around with that $300 purse, well, that is telling people that I have succeeded. Well, what bullshit is that? Like, yeah. I mean, if that's your only self-worth, then you're a piece of shit anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to go there, but.
Well, it's true. I mean, I get it. It's like, but it's weird how indoctrinating, because you don't think of it like that. Like, you're thinking, like, I can just remember, like, the first time I got a really expensive purse, it was like, I really did feel that feeling of success.
Did you do your dance? Da, 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 da,
da, away from all the store. Dun, 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 showing it off to everybody. Dun, dun, dun. No, that was a lot of years ago. But the thing is that in the rest of my life, I've only bought two. It's like, I didn't even actually buy the other one, but it's like, so it's not like, so even though I like fancy stuff, and if I'm going to do it, I also, I can get you a purse that looks like this. Ooh, okay, Ray, you and I are going to talk.
Say, come over here, sweetie. Open up your coat, huh? I got this nice purse over here.
And watch.
And jewelry. Yeah, and a watch.
I need a watch and some shoes and no.
They all say Gucci, but, you know, I got them for $25 right here.
Yes, I'd love to have a pair of Prada pumps. I would love that. But I'm not going to pay that for them. I don't, even if I had the money, I wouldn't pay that for them.
Yeah.
And that's part of it, too. So I wouldn't do that for myself, but for my kids, I do want them to have luxuries of life. I want them to get used to that, Stephen. I want them to taste it. I want them to feel it. I want them to strive for it.
Yeah.
I want them to.
Well, yeah, that's the key word right there. The key phrase. They should strive for it. They should want
and
it.
Well, yes and no. Because if they're never exposed to it, if they're always in lack, that is what they will continue to live throughout their lifetime. I've watched it. I've watched it so many times. It's such a fine line of teaching them to do it for themselves. And if it's never in their vibration, it they can't experience it anyway. It's like that story I always tell about the two boys. They had to be exposed to the richer, finer things of life for that boy to even have that in his reality to go for it.
Uh-huh.
The other one chose not to have resentment.
Well, look at the way the Amish do. You know, they have their children, both male and female, at the age of 16. They have them take a year off of being Amish and go out into the real world and decide whether they want to be Amish or decide whether they want to be like you and I. They give them that choice.
Well, and here's what's weird is it's like, because I reared Asia in the same way. You know, she was given a lot, and not just materially, but I mean, you and pretty much anybody who knows me, my life is pretty much around them. You know, besides what I do with the radio and different things, my life is about my kids. And
as well, it should be for 18 years.
Well, yeah. And that's kind of, I mean, but it doesn't ever go away. It's because, like, when I look at Asia and, you know, she's 26 and she has such a strong moral value. And she really appreciates and can and loves the earth and loves people and all of these things that were instilled in her. And yet she's still living in abundance. Like, she doesn't have to pay rent. She doesn't have to, you know.
Well, she's
provide.
She's with a family that is able to give.
Well, and that's all, again, if she had never had that in her reality, it would have never happened for her. And that's my belief because,
well,
I watch it.
Don't you and others that do the things you do preach that if you meet somebody, you were supposed to meet them? If something happens to you, it was supposed to happen to you?
I'm sure that that's true, but you have to be vibrating it. It's like that sign I was telling you about that's above our heads, right?
Which
It's
one?
like we all carry these neon signs that are up above our heads that either are announcing our wounding or calling our pleasure, right? It's one or the other. It's either love or hate. It's not, there's not a lot in between. And so when you have that up and you are not in a space, if you are always in lack, and that has you have been taught that you have to work hard for everything, that you're never going to get it unless you're just to the grind, and somebody's always going to try and take it, and you know, all of these things that are programmed into us, that's how you live.
Yeah.
Everything is freely handed to you, and it comes in a way that is not, you know, teaching a line of respect. It's like breathing. Most people don't ever sit and think, wow, thank you. Thank you for letting me breathe this air. Like, thank you for the air even being here. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of where this whole thing with abundance needs to be, where it's not a thought of, well.
And I say abundance should be freely given. It shouldn't be.
Right.
You shouldn't have to be in some special clique or some special group.
Exactly.
To have abundance.
Or you shouldn't have to have money, or you shouldn't have to have this or have that.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, it's just like with, like, I'm sure that there's lots of things that my kids would love to have that are, you know, that I don't do. But, you know, when it comes to, I guess, it's like the food. Sometimes I cringe at the things that they want to buy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell them, you know, I don't keep my mouth shut.
No filter.
You know, that's not going to happen. So, you know, I give them the lectures. I've told them that every time they eat McDonald's, they're eating, you know, half of the abducted children.
Have you ever showed them the videos of McDonald's and Burger King and Arby's and all that stuff where the burgers have been sitting in a room for 4.5 years? And they.
Oh, yeah. And the paste that comes out of that machine to make the nuggets and all. Oh, yeah, I've shown it all. They don't care.
Yeah.
They don't.
They're probably rolling their eyes at you.
Well, it's so funny because this was years ago, but Barbara one time was I'd taken her to McDonald's and I had told her, I was like, okay, whatever, you know, and we go through the drive-through and then she gets whatever she's eating and she bites into it and it's got like a, you know, like a little knot, you know. And she looks at me, she goes, "It's not a kid."
Lori's got a question for you.
Oh, no. She lives on her own. She lives in California. She is actually, both my older children are on their own. They, one lives in California and one lives up south from me. She lives on her own. I don't, you know, she's being supported. She lives with her boyfriend and he's a trust fund baby. But it's, again, to me, it's about creation because she's working, but she's doing what she loves and she doesn't make a lot of money. And her life is about cooking and hanging out with her animals and creating peace on the planet. I love that. I don't know. We'll see. Creating peace on the planet. And then she comes here and all three girls, they're going to drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be crazier than I was before.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, I'm going to go ahead and end here. I just got a notification we're going to be leaving in a few minutes, so
tell them that, I mean, they don't, not that they care what we say, but tell them that everyone, myself and PIR, wish them happy anniversary and that we're very impressed that they
stuck out 42 years. Yeah.
Oh, lordy, lordy. Well, I love everybody. I hope everybody just has a fabulous Thanksgiving in the U.S. And nobody else celebrates that, right? I mean, that's only here.
I don't know.
Get a few days off.
I don't really know. Yeah.
I'm sure not. But anyway, regardless, I hope everyone enjoys their week. And thanks for having me on, Stephen. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Have a good day. All right, everyone. Yeah. I'm going to load the... I'm going to load the queue up with songs, and Kira's going to come on. I'm playing her pod at, it's going to be 11 over there. So I'm going to put a few songs afterwards and hope for the best. Talk to everyone soon. Thanks for coming out. It's been Stephen Roberts on PeoplesInternetRadio.com and PSN Radio. This is Cancel the Cabal. Good night, everyone.